It is the Savage Nation. Interesting article today. Islam gets concessions, infidels get conquered. Written by Raymond Ibrahim, who is the author of a soon-to-be-published book, The Al-Qaeda Reader. Islam gets concessions, infidels get conquered. He says, what they capture, they keep. When they lose, they complain to the UN. Raymond Ibrahim, welcome to the Savage Nation. Terrific article. What is your main thesis?
Hello?
Yeah, what is your main thesis, Mr. Ibrahim?
The main thesis basically is that there should not be double standards in the international arena, that there's two ways to look at international politics. One is the traditional way, which is might makes right, and that, you know, one people's, one nation conquers another, consolidates it, annexes it. And the other more modern, liberal interpretation is that we are globalizing and we need to get along and we need to make concessions and negotiate and cooperate. But what I'm seeing, and the point of the article, is that it's kind of a one-way street. It seems that the West keeps trying to concede, whereas Islam, you know, will never concede one inch of anything that it has taken by force. And the point that what I used kind of as the centerpiece was the example of the Hagia Sophia, which is...
Yes, so last week, Pope Benedict XVI went to the Hagia Sophia complex in Istanbul. Was that not once the greatest and most celebrated church that was sacked by the Muslims?
The most glorious church in all of Christendom. It was the empires of the Byzantine Empire's church. It was the emperor's church, Constantine, and it was ransacked and its crosses were destroyed and icons defaced, and it was immediately converted into a mosque. Now, my point is, fine, that's history. You know, might makes right. But I don't understand, if that's the case, if Turkey and the Turks and, in general, Islam took over the Hagia Sophia and turned it into a mosque, and then it became a museum when they tried to secularize it about a century ago. But if that's the case, why is it, for example, and this is what I note, the Aqsa Mosque in Palestine, which was deliberately built on the Jerusalem Temple, the Temple of Jerusalem, Solomon's Temple, which is important for both Christians and Jews. How come when, if we believe in might makes right, as Islamic history and theology demonstrates all the time, why is it that when the Jews annex and take over land, which actually originally is theirs anyway, they've conceded, actually. They've given the Al-Aqsa Mosque. It's in complete control of Muslims. They haven't taken it or, you know, controlled it except in times of crisis. And I'm contrasting that with the Hagia Sophia, because when the Pope went there were massive demonstrations that they were Muslims around the world were just scared that the Pope might even pray. If he prayed in Hagia Sophia, that would have been a great dilemma, which might have caused international jihad, simply because it would imply he's trying to say that this is still a church. But at the same time, the Aqsa Mosque in Jerusalem, it's given to the Muslims, and yet they want to destroy and overthrow Israel. So either we live by the sword, the way Islam continuously demonstrates, and whoever wins, wins, or we concede. But it just seems that, in general, Muslims won't concede anything, such as the Hagia Sophia. They only want concessions from the liberal West.
Well, they know the game, and that's why the Baker panel's mention of the Palestinian right of return is so incredibly stupid and dangerous. But you make a very interesting point. The Jewish people, the Israelis, when they conquered that part of Israel, the Al-Aqsa Mosque, I've been there, is built atop the remains of the Temple Mount, where the ancient Temple of the Jews once sat. It's on conquered land. And yet, why is it that the Jews haven't destroyed the Al-Aqsa Mosque and rebuilt the Temple, is what you're really saying. In other words, if the Jews were so bad and the Israelis were such militant people, by the same token as the Muslims sacking the church, shouldn't they have sacked the Al-Aqsa Martyrs Brigade, knocked it down, and built a temple? That's what would have been exactly equal to that, right?
It's the exact analogy, and that's what I'm trying to say, you know, and they don't do that, and yet Islam won't. Why not, for example, you know, theoretically, why not return the Hagia Sophia as a church, which is what it was originally? You know, I mean, Turkey claims to be secular and is trying to get membership in the European Union, and yet for even someone to mention the idea that this the Hagia Sophia can be returned as a church is a great travesty. But at the same time, in Palestine, where they are also conquered, just like Turkey conquered Anatolia and Constantinople, they expect, and of course the international community falls for it, all kinds of concessions.
Okay, Mr. Ibrahim, you write the following. You say, but perhaps Muslims cannot be blamed for expecting special treatment, as well as believing that jihad is righteous and decreed by the Almighty. The West constantly goes out of its way to confirm such convictions by criticizing itself, apologizing, and offering concessions, all things the Islamic world has yet to do. The West reaffirms that Islam has a privileged status in the world. Now, if we may, your book is coming out soon, The Al-Qaeda Reader, and I can't wait to see it. Please discuss with my audience James Baker's panel and their recommendations. Do you care to do that?
Yeah, but you have to refresh me, James Baker's panel.
All right, no, that's okay. I'm not going to put you on the spot. I can do that certainly on my own. I think your main point is that our approach to radical Islam is too weak. Isn't that fundamentally what you're saying?
Fundamentally, what I'm saying is there has to be there can't be double standards. Okay, so if Islam, the way it demonstrates continuously, is not willing to concede one inch, never willing to say we're wrong, never even willing to admit to the Armenian genocide, okay, never willing to give even a building back, even though they claim to be secular, then that's fine. You know, that's the Hobbesian worldview, okay, which is might makes right, and that's fine by me, and it's fine by a lot of people. But if that's the case, why is it that when they're conquered, rightfully, it's a big scene, and now we have to go to the UN, and it's not fair, and we want our rights, but no infidel can ever open their mouth and say, well, we want, let's say, Constantinople, we want, you know, Anatolia. And so to me, it's a great double standard. We have to be consistent. Either it's might makes right, and that's the way it is. I beat you, you deal with it, which is the way it is in Islam, or we try to all get along, hold hands, and sing kumbaya, but I doubt that.
Yeah. Well, what happened with the Pope? Why did the Pope go from being so honest and clear to suddenly becoming almost defeated? When he went to Turkey and when he entered the Blue Mosque next to the Hagia Sophia, he took off his shoes and he prayed with his eyes downcast, like a subdued non-Muslim living under Islamic law and acknowledging Islamic superiority. Why did the Pope do that?
Well, I mean, you know, I don't know what's in the man's heart, but, you know, for one thing, as a Christian, unfortunately, that is probably the sort of thing you should do, you know, because Christ preached, turn the other cheek, unlike what Muhammad preached, which is go and subdue with a sword. So, I mean, I'm not really criticizing him per se because, you know, through a Christian paradigm, he did really the right thing in a way. But in a secular or a more conservative Christian paradigm, it's kind of, you know, he definitely is giving in, because that sort of thing only reinforces the Islamist idea that they are right and that Christians or Westerners are weak and just have no moral fiber because they always give in so readily.
Mr. Ibrahim, I have to ask you, your name is obviously Arabic. Are you yourself of the Islamic faith?
No, I'm Egyptian. But I'm Coptic. I don't know if you've heard of that.
Yes, I'm very aware of the persecution of the Coptic Christians in Egypt by the practitioners of the religion of peace.
Right. Right. So I'm both professionally and personally somewhat cognizant of Islam's effects on non-Muslims.
Well, you know, if you have one religion that teaches its boys to turn the other cheek and you have another religion that teaches its boys to slash the other's throat, tell me how that game ends.
I'm sorry, what was your conclusion?
If you have one religion that teaches their young sons turn the other cheek, and you have the other religion that teaches its young sons slash the other's throat, tell me how that game ends.
That game ends, basically, the only reason that the former religion, the pacifist, i.e. Christian religion, is still dominant is simply because of technology. In other words, the West, we are dominant because we are stronger physically and militarily. But make no mistake about it that when the day comes, and it will come, that Islam is as equally armed or even more so than the West, that they will not at all hesitate to launch an expansive, offensive jihad all over the world. And that's the problem, because people, the West, the Christian West and the liberal West specifically, take it for granted that the whole world, including Muslims, see things the way they see it, which is that I just want to live a happy life, materialistic, hedonistic life, and Muslims are just angry because they're oppressed and they're trying to rationalize it through Islam. But that kind of mentality overlooks the metaphysical factor, in that it just so happens that people do believe in God. And the only difference is, and why the West doesn't really appreciate it, is because people believe in the Christian God, which is the predominant faith in the West, don't have any kind of doctrines that will, in any way, shape, or form, condone violence. So you don't see it. But so Westerners seem to think that Islam is the same way. It's just violent now because they're angry. But it's not. It's a completely different outlook, completely different worldview. It's so antithetical to liberalism. It's amazing, which is why it's so funny to see how many liberals in the West, in America, are the staunchest supporters and defenders of radical Islam. You know,
yes, I see it, and of course my answer is very, very clearly, because liberalism is a mental disorder. There's no other explanation for it. The liberals would be the first targets of a Muslim conquest. But let's put aside such a horrendous thought. Islam gets concessions, infidels get conquered. Raymond Ibrahim, the Al-Qaeda reader, is a book that I really cannot wait to see when it comes out. You're a man who understands how the religion of peace actually operates as a Coptic Christian. And I, of course, as an American conservative, also understand the danger we are in with fools running the show. Mr. Ibrahim, let us pray to the Almighty God that the American people get a true, strong leader before it is too late. Thank you so much for being with us, and I look forward to seeing your book, The Al-Qaeda Reader, when it comes out.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.